I want to back us up just a little bit to the call and response that we do right before the prayer of the day, where sometimes we have an assisting minister. Today it happens to be me. I will say, God is good all the time, and then you have your response. Do you remember what the response is? All right, so we're going to try that, except we're going to not say it quite so robotically like I just did. So, God is good all the time.
All the time, God is good.
All right, now let's pretend that it's not Sunday morning at 9:35 in the morning, and we have a little coffee flowing through us. Let's try some energy. God is good all the time.
All the time, God is good.
One more time. God is good all the time. So we've been saying that phrase, that call and response before our prayer of the day for a few seasons now, off and on, because we have another call and response that we use that probably some of us have memorized even more. The Lord be with you. See, you've all watched Star Wars. You know how we're supposed to greet each other. That's perfect. That is the ideal way for a pastor or a congregational president or somebody to get the attention of people when we're all just kind of milling about. So we use that one, and we have others as well. But we've been using God is good all the time God is good. We've been using that in and out for a couple of years now. And there was a time when a worshiper came up to me after worship and asked me why we say that. Now, this particular worshiper of ours, this particular friend of ours in this space, I knew their story well enough to know that in their world, they were having some difficulties. And in the world, we were having some difficulties. And so we shared some sorrows, and we shared some frustration, and maybe even a little bit of anger. And part of the question that our worshiper had about this phrase, God is good all the time, God is good, is that to them, it felt naive to say that. And they aren't entirely wrong, because the question that they were getting at was, well, if all these things are happening to my life, and I'm praying, and I'm trying to hold fast to God, we may say that God is good, and we may say that God is listening to our prayers, but there are days, and maybe you have these days too, where it feels like maybe God isn't so great. That's actually a pretty good question to ask. It's an honest question. It's getting right to the heart. It's basically saying, get out of my way. I'm going straight to God, and I'm going to ask this question, God, are you good? All the time. Sometimes. There are other times when we can agree. There are times when we are ready to praise God and jump up and dance and throw our hands in the air. And then there are other times, there are those days, maybe you're having that day right now where God doesn't feel quite so good. Or you come into worship into this house on this particular morning, and the psalm that we have for today is Psalm 111. You may not have your worship book open like I do, like right now, but do you remember what the first word is that Joe read for us? Alleluia. And in our worship books, it's actually written with an exclamation point, in part because this is supposed to be an out loud praise. So let's try it. Alleluia.
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 Alleluia. Yeah, now we're all on the same page, except maybe we aren't. What if we come into worship today and we're not feeling it? What if we got here this morning and we're not sure why we're here? And we read this word, Alleluia, and then it goes on and on and on, verse after verse, line after line, talking about the praises and the might and the majesty and the graciousness of God. And we're not quite there. How do we encounter Scripture? How do we encounter God? How do we come to worship on those days when we're not feeling praise? Because there are some of us here this morning who have gotten good news. Some of us here this morning have gotten great news from the doctor. Maybe somebody here this morning had just sent in their last check and they are about to get the title to their card and will be fully theirs. Maybe someone in this space got the job they've been waiting for weeks, maybe for months. And they got that job that comes with the health insurance and with the pension that we're all longing for. And we're ready to sing the Alleluia and we're ready to dance. By the way, it's worth asking, how come Lutherans don't dance in worship? Besides the fact that our pews are all crammed together, we feel like we're sitting in a Boeing 737, and it's hard to dance, but you can come into the aisle and do it all you want. Some of us might be here because we passed the test that we have been struggling with, or maybe we got to do the retake, or maybe we got to do the extra credit, and finally we got our grade up to where we want it. We are here to praise, we are here to clap, we are here to celebrate, because God is good. And when we come, we know because some of us have been here before and some of us are here this morning. Some folks come into this space and we're feeling small. We're feeling weak. We're feeling silenced. We're feeling like we keep throwing prayers at God and they keep getting unanswered. And yes, we know that sometimes God doesn't answer prayers and sometimes God doesn't answer prayers exactly the way we want. We know that, but still, there are days where it just seems like we're throwing everything up into the air. And our lingering hopes keep falling off the vine. And maybe you're that person who came to worship today and you're just not in the mood. You don't want to hear about how God is good. You don't want to hear about hallelujahs. You don't want to hear about the praise and the majesty and the might of what God can do. And so we just kind of mutter it and move on. We have this psalm, Psalm 111. This particular psalm isn't a whole lot different from many other praise psalms that maybe you've come across in the book of Psalms. And if you had the opportunity or you had the worship book in front of you, you would flip forward and you see that the next few psalms are all written pretty much exactly the same way. They all begin, Alleluia, and they continue with praise and majesty and might, all the great things that God can do. It's like this little microscopic book inside this much bigger book. And it's all about praising God and all about how good God is and all that God can accomplish. It's endless affirmation of our Lord. This particular psalm might be helpful for us to look at and reflect on just for a couple of minutes. Praise psalms in the book of Psalms, even though we can read them by ourselves. You can read anything you want in the Bible by yourself. It's perfectly fine. Praise psalms are often written specifically for groups. You know, our psalm begins, Alleluia, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. These words are for all of us to share together. If we had the tone, we could sing or chant these out in a worship space together, sharing the praise of God. These words are meant to help us walk in our relationship with God. And when we're not quite there, when we're not feeling quite right, and we come to a space like this, and we know that these words were written for an assembly kind of like this, we remind ourselves that not everybody here is on the same page in our relationship with God, so maybe even the Psalms themselves have more to say than just the naive glory and praise of God. Maybe there is something going on for us to go digging into and go looking for. For instance, one thing that Psalm 111 offers and other Psalms offer is something that we could call communal memory. Communal memory. Trinity Lutheran Church, our church, has communal memory. We've been here for 170 plus years, but we haven't been here. We've actually had three addresses in our life. We may have more addresses in our life. We may keep going and God keeps moving us and the Holy Spirit finds new places for us to envision what God is up to in this community. We've had the saints who gathered in the schoolhouse early on. We had the saints who built this house so that we have a warm and safe place to gather in God's presence. Our church has communal memory. Beyond our church, our faith has communal memory. Our psalm writer, line by line, is pointing us back to what God has already done to help us envision what God is doing in our lives, even when we can't see it. Verse 5, you give food to those who fear you, remembering forever your covenant. Covenant language is a big deal for us. Even though we don't use that word, we might use the word God's promise. God promises to care for us. This particular verse would point us back, if we had our scripture open, it would point us all the way back to the Exodus event when the Israelites ran for their lives out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea and now they're wandering through the wilderness. They're on their way to the promised land, but they're not there yet and they need food. And so how does God respond? By sending manna from heaven that we could translate bread from heaven. In fact, you and I, we remember this long-standing promise that God has given to creation, even when we're not so sure about the goodness of God, whenever we say, give us this day our daily bread. God made these promises at the beginning of creation that God would sustain us and care for us, And some days it is difficult for us to see and believe. So the psalm writer keeps going on, reminding us line after line of what God has done in our life. In verse 9, you sent redemption to your people and commanded your covenant forever. Holy and awesome is your name. This could point us back to when Charlton Heston Moses climbed up on the mountain. And we might remember that dramatic moment where the clouds are swirling around the mountain. And Charlton Heston climbs all the way up into the darkness and grabs those rocks. And then the CGI lightning writes all 10 commandments onto those stones, those sacred tablets. And then Charlton Heston, or we could call him Moses, I suppose. Moses carries them down and throws them at the golden calf. The covenant. The promise that God will be with us. The redemption for your people. Commanded your covenant forever. God makes promises into stone that God will be with us. Communal memory. Especially on the days when you and I as individuals, we can't remember. Psalm 111, the writer, is trying to bring us back, not just to remember the specific moments of what God has done, but even beyond that, to remember the gift that God is God. You know, the first commandment, I don't expect you to remember it. My confirmants might remember it. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods, written into those stones with the CGI lightning. God didn't write that for us because God loves to hear God's name spoken out loud. God is not necessarily hoping that we're going to be just singing praises to God for God's benefit. This is meant to be a gift for us. Because you and I, friends, we are surrounded by gods. We have all these voices in our world, continuously, constantly trying to tell us who's in charge of our lives, how we're supposed to live our lives, how we're supposed to look in our lives, how the right and socially proper way is for us to exist in our lives. We are held to standards by people and cultures who already hold power and sway and maintain that power and sway by constantly changing the standards. Whether we're talking about our financial situation, our gainful employment or not, the clothes we wear, the homes that we live in, the children that we have or the children that we don't have, our academic ability, the health that we maintain, from our teeth to our hair, from our toes to our tummies, every part of our life, the people who we love, and the ways that we love our people, all of it sits in judgment. It's no wonder some days we come into this house and we feel pretty pressed low. We have our Saturday nights or our Sunday mornings when we come into the space and we're not quite sure why we're here and we're not quite sure how we're going to be singing praise to God because we have no praise to give. And when praising God feels impossible, when believing that God is just, let alone good, is a step too far for our lives, when we get to that moment of doubt and disbelief, when we are throwing everything at God, that is the moment when we remember that our relationship with God, our faith in God, is a gift from God because it's not up to us. We don't have to pray our way into God's goodness. God is good. We don't have to believe that God is compassionate for God to be generous and compassionate to us. We don't have to say it right. We don't have to sing it out loud. We don't have to dance. We don't have to clap or stand out in the aisle. We don't even have to stand because God's already got us. The goodness of God is that God is God. And when we forget, and we always forget, God remembers the promise. When we deny what God can do, God will do it anyway. And when we are feeling by ourselves, when we are convinced that we have to walk in this world through every shadow and valley of death by ourselves, God comes with. Because God's Son is by our side, taking our sin and our shame and our guilt and our suffering and destroying it on the cross. God sends an assembly of messed up and forgiven humans just like us. People who can sing for us when our throats are sore. God sends food when our tables are bare. God sends love when we cannot believe that we are worthy of love or that we can love another person. God brings justice when our unjust world continuously tries to tear us apart. This psalm writer, Psalm 111, She isn't simply in a great mood, naively throwing off beautiful words about God. She is singing in the face of suffering. She is defying the voices that are trying to crowd out our faith, to silence our hope. She may have been shouting, "Alleluia," with tears in her eyes, and yet she will not stop singing, because God has not left her. God has not left her assembly. God has not left her community. God has not left us. She is giving us this psalm as a way for us to keep singing. Keep singing for our siblings who can't find the words, to keep singing for our neighbors who are suffering down the street, to keep singing for the neighbors who are suffering one or two pews away from us even today. To keep singing. To remember that what God has done and all that God will continue to do, because God is in this world, bringing light and hope upon this world, offering life and peace for this world, because God loves this world. God loves you. God's goodness will not be stifled. God's generosity will not be slowed. God's grace will not be lost. And so we praise. And even in our weak days when we can't sing, someone next to us will sing. And we will shout together, "Alleluia." So friends, let's try it one more time. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Friends, will you please rise and we will sing.